right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Have a thing, so there's that.
I know. There's a thing to turn on.
Because there wasn't.
We had some problems.
For quite some time.
Yes.
This is the longest break
ever
in Geeks. Almost 7 months.
Almost 7 months.
Because it was just before, I'll remember it fondly. It was just before San Diego. I think it was the week before San Diego.
Or is that right?
Or 2 weeks before San Diego.
Well, so let's kind of get into what happened. We had just moved into Studio B.
That's correct.
And we had just moved into Studio B. And after we taped episode 232.
Right.
And we got that one all together. Did we actually tape 233?
No,
we didn't.
We did 231 in the satellite studio.
That's correct.
We did 232 in Studio B.
Right.
And then
what happened was Studio B was robbed.
That's correct.
And Studio B was robbed and they took all of our equipment.
That's correct.
Computers, mics, mixers.
They left a mic stand.
A mic stand.
A cable.
And there was an old PC computer there.
Right, yeah, right.
And they left that.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, you know, and we of course are proud to say that we use Mac computers, Apple computers.
That's right.
To record Big Kev's Geek Stuff. They actually took our Mac computers, I should say.
Yes.
But what they did was they unplugged my older keyboard that I enjoy.
Right.
And left that.
And they also left the power source plugged into the wall.
Yeah. Into
the surge protector.
That was done. And then they also, in a genius move, because we were just in the process of moving into Studio B, the box for the computer was right next to the computer.
Correct.
But they didn't put it in the box
No.
and take it out.
Nope. They just grabbed it.
Yeah.
And went.
27-inch iMac. They walked out of Studio B with it.
Brandy spanky new.
I don't. Was it 3 months old? I don't even think it was 3 months
old. If that, I think it was, I want to say it was May-ish or just before May.
Yeah.
It was definitely before my boy was
around. No, it was definitely,
So April maybe, thereabouts.
Yeah. And so that all that stuff was gone. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, so we, of course, have insurance because we're not idiots.
Right.
And so what we did was we make the claim on the insurance for Studio B.
Right.
And we just received the check.
Right.
From the insurance company. Just received the check. And 2 days after we received the check.
Right.
Hurricane.
Right. We should say that unfortunately the insurance wasn't.
Not nearly enough. No.
Due to some issues.
Yeah. Let's be very clear about this. Insurance companies have limits.
Right.
And when it comes to the electronics, I promise you, the limits on the electronics would not have even paid for the mics and mixer to be replaced.
I believe it would have paid for a command key on a keyboard.
Right. That's right. No,
had we a keyboard, we might have replaced the command key.
Honestly, we might have actually gotten an entire keyboard.
Okay, but, excellent.
But that said,
but that's it.
But it would be used,
right?
And exactly. You know, it would be a little dicey, maybe missing the L,
right? Exactly.
Something weird like that. The point being is that we were, even if we had the opportunity to have bought that keyboard, we still had no money for the rest of the equipment.
That is correct.
And then the hurricane
comes
and floods Studio B.
That's correct.
And anything else that we had in Studio B, anything at all, is gone.
Right. At the same time that was happening,
right,
we actually had some production backed up in a couple of different locations.
Yeah.
One of which was my personal laptop.
Right.
I had a lot of production. Right before the hurricane hit, the hard drive in my laptop crashed.
Right.
And I lost all of that production. So that also was gone. So the backup of the backup was gone.
Right. Now we did have, we think, because we still don't know the answer to this.
Right.
We're still kind of in the process of rebuilding.
That's correct.
And actually tonight we're actually coming to you live from Studio C.
That is also correct.
And Studio C, of course, is our satellite studio. And we're very happy to be here. We're happy to be able to do it and so on and so forth. Studio C is now set.
Studio C, I like to call it our redundancy contingency.
That's right.
So that if Studio B is ever misfortuned upon again,
right,
if that's a word, Studio C could serve as a functioning backup studio to a certain degree.
We're gonna go back and forth.
Oh, absolutely. We're still going to be in Studio B and we're still going to be in Studio C.
Okay.
We're going to,
Okay, good.
The point being is that hopefully we've eliminated these crises.
Correct.
In the future.
Well, wait, there's more.
Oh, of course.
So Studio B is flooded.
Right.
They have to come into Studio B and extract the water.
That's right.
And then they have to extract 2 feet of the walls all through Studio B.
That's correct.
Thankfully, through the help of some judicious friends, including my wife, we were able to extract the majority of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Which was also being housed in the same building as Studio B.
Right.
So that was saved.
Right.
What we lost, however, was the brand new carpeted plush. Everything was beautiful. Studio B is now not at all.
No. It's kind of like the back room at a Costco. Right now.
Kind of
needs a little bit of...
That's really accurate, yes.
Needs a little bit of work.
That's a little bit.
A little bit of work, but it's going to get there.
Right. No carpet.
Right.
Going back down there.
Now, we should say, of course, that obviously we are back, and that is really due entirely, I'm going
to
say...
To everyone other than us.
We talk about the community in which we exist.
Right.
That being the podcasting community, the toy community, the comic book community, our fans in general.
Right.
And really, all of you came together in a big way.
Big way.
To make this
possible
happen again. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, obviously we're hugely appreciative. I guess apparently it means you want us.
Somebody wants to hear us.
To continue this show. So there's that.
Which really counteracts Cornboy's position of, if you don't come back and do the show, who'll know?
Listen, Cornboy was very distraught. There were tears.
Were there?
Laughter. No.
Yeah, just, exactly.
No. Cornboy missed us very, very much. But we should take this moment maybe to thank a couple of people.
Okay.
Do you want me to try to remember as many as I can?
Sure.
Okay. Eric Scarecrow. Oh, wait. Let's take a step back.
Okay.
So in order to get this back off the ground, right, we did a fundraiser.
Well, we did have a donation button on the website.
That's
correct. And people were kind enough to donate us donate money to us that way.
And we can't name all of those people because there were too many of you.
There were a lot of them.
But pretty much all of you should have gotten a little thank you in the mail with our new sticker and so, you know, a small token of our appreciation,
right,
to you. That being said, we did also have a fundraiser.
Yes.
With the help of George and Aileen over at Toy Break.
Right.
Who were very important and instrumental in getting that up off the ground.
And I really am madly in love with one of them.
I know. George
but
is
I'm
cute.
Just, I'm just, the, I'm not.
The beard?
No, I'm not no. committing to anyone.
No? Oh,
I'm
okay.
Just saying one of them.
Just.
And the other one, meh. Just saying.
They're both lovely people.
I'm, oh, okay.
So, so they were instrumental in helping get the fundraiser off the ground. And then we had several fans from the message boards who actually donated product for this fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Two come to mind, and I know I'm missing a third one, but Crack It and Tainted Burrito over at the message boards donated product for us to have as part of the fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Marsh, who's Monster Forge, who's a guy over at the message boards, donated the artwork. For the new stickers, which were part of the fundraiser because we were, you know, selling those for a buck and at New York Comic Con as well.
Right.
And then there was a litany of people who donated product, original artists who donated original product.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Scarecrow
gave
us a great piece. Eric from Argonaut Resins actually gave us two pieces, one for the first round and one for the second round.
Right.
There was Rich Page over at Ume Toys.
Uh-huh.
Neil Tattersall, ZRO Toys, gave us a piece.
Jean St. John gave us a bunch of stuff.
Ixart gave us a bunch of prints to sell. Robert Nichols gave us a bunch of prints to sell. Lou Pimentel gave us some awesome prints, which actually became a New York Comic Con exclusive.
Correct.
So there was that. God, I know I'm missing. Oh, Danny over at Toy Dungeon Studios, who's been a longtime friend of the show.
Right.
Came through and helped us out with a lot of promotion. He did a promotional video with his puppet, his puppet master puppet, and he also gave us a piece for the fundraiser.
Right.
So, and there were more people. Kylie Lane over at Luxury Lane Soap donated a couple pieces to sell on the auction, and there were more. I'll put a complete list up on the site because I know I'm missing somebody, and I apologize if I'm missing you, but.
The site. There's a site, you say?
Oh, yeah. That happened probably while we were gone also.
I believe you're right.
Complete overhaul.
Complete.
To the website.
Overhaul, yes.
Brand new look. Hopefully some of you have been going there. We have had some content.
Right.
A couple of blog posts. Coke Logic coming through in the pinch has continued to do super game stuff.
Right.
While we were gone. Coke Logic actually put together a new hub website too, which we're a part of, which we'll talk about in another episode.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the website is new thanks to, James, our new web developer,
yes,
our new webmaster,
James,
the man behind the scene who worked with me and who dealt with me. And I'm kind of annoying.
Are you?
Yeah. There were probably days where I emailed him 20 times. I'm going
to
say.
I have to say, though, that what's funny about that statement is that's usually the moniker that is applied to me.
Right. No. Yeah, but see, I'm annoying when it comes to trying to get stuff done in a timely fashion.
Right.
To the way that I like it. So in that regard, I beat James up a little bit, but he did an awesome job.
Wait, so if you're annoying in a productive way, what am I?
Just annoying.
I don't get it.
Anyway, you know who actually who actually donated to get the show back off the fund
Ooh.
And then disappeared again into the mist?
I heard.
Just Mike. He came out of the woods.
Uh-huh.
He handed over a very generous and sizable donation.
Yep.
And then disappeared again.
Poof.
Like that.
I still have hopes.
He said that we never gave up on him, and that we shouldn't give up on ourselves. And then he promised to come back, and then he didn't.
So, you kind of got to ease just my.
We're never saying no to Just Mike.
Right.
The seat is always open
right.
for Just Mike. So that being said.
And actually, you know what's funny?
Oh, God, Benny at Tenacious Toys. How could I forget Benny was a huge supporter also.
Oh, I can't believe you forgot
Superpower
Benny.
Collectibles, also one of our sponsors, uh-huh. donated to the show, to the fundraiser. They're going to just keep coming, and I'll just keep blurting them out.
I was going to say, the angle we were going to go with the story today, we were going to go with the comic angle.
Right.
Where Monitor
yes,
just stole all our stuff and left.
Yeah.
But it was just too – there was actually – the story is you can't write this story. And every time we got close to coming back, something else happened.
Oh, sure.
New York Comic Con came, and we were hoping to launch before New York Comic Con. Then something happened. And then a couple of weeks after New York Comic Con, I had my appendix out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking, well, maybe we can get going that week. And then I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks.
You know, you bring up Monitor and turning comedy into tragedy.
Yes.
Within a week or within 2 days, I think. Of the initial robbery,
uh-huh.
Lovely Aileen,
yes,
said,
"Oh yes,"
which made me laugh in dark times. It was actually a much needed laugh. But she said, "You guys can't keep any producers.
Yeah, that's
even
it.
Monitor left you.
That's right.
So we thank her. And we thank everybody.
Of course we do
for getting us through these dark times. And I should say." Looking to the future, we have some awesome things that we're involved in forward that we can't talk about just yet. But we're waiting for you, Mr. You Know Who You Are, to make your press release so that we can actually announce that we're involved in this project.
Yes.
It involves a photo shoot and other fun things.
Oh, yes.
So there are and there are a couple of upcoming shows that we're going to be at, making an appearance at and all sorts of good things.
Yeah, we have a bunch of things on the plate.
So we look forward to Big Kev's Geek Stuff Volume 2.
Yes, Volume 2, Episode 1 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right.
Or as I like to call it, Episode 233.
Exactly.
You know, I'd just like to make one comment.
Sure, go for it.
I'm glad that you came out and said how difficult you are to deal with. Because now maybe people will understand what I have to go through each and every week to get this show off the ground.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
Listen, we both worked very hard.
The vitriol I have to sway through.
Look, sometimes you need to, you know, be backhanded.
I'm just saying.
To keep you in line.
I'm just saying.
And if I have to do it, I'm not above abusing you.
Has to be done.
If it has to happen, I'll do it. So.
Geek Stuff. What's in the news?
Oh, is this what's next?
Yeah.
I've totally forgotten how to do this.
Yeah, well, that is what's next. But as part of this, we're going to kind of do... We're going to do a flashback.
Oh.
And we're going to throw it out to the listeners also.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we like to do that.
Yep. So what we're looking for is we've been gone for a long time.
Yes.
And what we're looking to have happen is we would like to know what you guys wish that we had been around to talk about. No, that's not it.
No, that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah. If we had been on for the last 7 months,
correct,
as usual. What topics would you have wanted to hear us discuss that you didn't get to because we weren't around? And now we can address them.
Right. And so you're going to call the
GVM line.
It's the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
What's that number again?
425-920-6050. And leave us a voicemail.
Yeah. And you're going to tell us what it is that you wish we had been around to talk about. And we're going to talk about it. And that's going to be our flashback segments. We're going to run those for several weeks until we feel, like other bits on this show, we've run it into the ground. 7 months. A lot has happened in seven
sure.
months. I mean, a lot has happened in 7 months.
Absolutely.
Comics have completely turned upside down.
Yes, they have.
The films that came out over this, it's the whole summer. So the whole summer's worth of movies came
right.
out. Let's not even get into what happened with toys and New York Comic Con.
Yep,
I mean, so much stuff has happened. San Diego, the the monstrosity that was San Diego. I mean, there is so many things that you can pick from to talk about.
Absolutely. So do we want to pick one for ourselves to talk about briefly, or do we want to just move into what's going on now?
No, let's talk about Cap.
All right. That's the one I would pick too.
Because Cap was arguably the best comic book movie ever made, number one.
That's right.
Number two, it's already on DVD. So if you haven't seen it, you can enjoy it. I know that a lot of people were looking forward to this movie, and I'm curious to know what a lot of people thought of it, because I thought it was spectacular. Spectacular. I'll tell you what I didn't like.
What?
The trailer for the Avengers that was on the end of it. Didn't like it.
You know, I didn't hate it. My problem is that I didn't get a genuine feel for the film.
Right.
But in defense, it was a teaser. And it was early on in production. And as I continue to read stuff, although I'm going to say now I've put myself on a blackout list now.
Oh, you have?
For the event. In regards to the Avengers? Yeah, because I'm so tired of hearing about Dark Knight Rises.
What?
Movie is being spoiled for me before it even comes out.
What do you mean?
So what? I'm not going to let.
What did you hear?
We'll talk about Dark Knight Rises. We'll get there. I'm not going to let the Avengers be spoiled for me. That being said, Cap was fantastic.
Yep.
The translation of the character was fantastic.
Fantastic.
The costume was fantastic.
It's
Red Skull was, I mean, I don't,
the criticism,
I don't have a flaw. I don't have a complaint.
The criticism is that there wasn't enough time spent in World War II. That's my criticism of it.
Yes.
And what I would like, and what I would like to have
not
seen.
Not in the war itself, but in the period, the whole film surrounded the period of World War II.
You know, he is such, you know, the way he's portrayed in the comic books, he is, you know, he's around for the majority of the war, and he's doing like a lot of stuff during the war, and that, you know, he becomes this national figure and so on and so forth. Now he's almost reduced in the film version, almost, to like a legend.
But, you know, I thought they handled it well. I think they handled the progression from dancing, singing.
Well, which was great.
Captain America to the war hero that he eventually becomes. And I think what they had to do for the sake of the film was pick one or two key situations to make him really shine.
Yeah.
And go with those. And I'm okay with it. I think they handled it well.
The shame of it is that you'd like to see more of the Cap character. In that element, and we just won't ever get to see that.
I mean, you never know what Cap 2 could have more flashbacks. You never know.
Well, I mean, I guess theoretically, I guess they could do it that way. I don't know. But Cap 2 seems to be Winter Soldier.
It would seem to be Cap 2 would be Winter Soldier.
Right. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but, you know,
that being
Bucky
said,
is in the film. Bucky, you see Bucky falling, but Bucky doesn't die. You know, or you don't see him die.
Right, don't see him die.
So, I mean, it's very possible that this could be a Winter Soldier. And there were clearly somewhere in the north when everything was snowy.
Absolutely.
It's clearly a direction they could go if they're doing another Captain America movie.
Which I think they are.
I think
that's already been greenlit.
I'm sure.
I know Thor 2 is greenlit. Just real quick. We're not going to focus on Thor. Just real quick. I didn't think Thor was a piece of shit.
No.
And that's all I'm saying.
That's it. I did not. And when I was sitting in the movie theater and the lights were going down and I realized that I was sitting in a Thor movie.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought of was, I wish Just Mike was here with me. After all our discussions about the fact that we would never, ever be sitting in a Thor movie.
Yeah.
And there we were.
In all fairness.
And it didn't suck.
In all fairness, I actually liked it. I don't think that it was amazing as it could have been.
Right.
But I liked it. And I think it served a good purpose. And kudos to Brana and Thor 2.
But Cap.
Cap, however, was the
phenomenal.
Pinnacle.
Phenomenal. Was it your favorite movie of the summer?
For me?
Yeah.
I can't fairly answer that question.
Why?
Because I have a 7-month-old son, and I didn't really see a lot of. I think I saw
you
Cap.
You have a kid? And you were busy while we were gone.
I saw Cap. I saw Deathly Hallows Part 2. And I saw, I think I saw maybe one other thing in the theater, and that was it.
I'll tell you without getting too much into it, because I want to see if someone's going to call in and call me on this.
Right.
I loved Cap. Cap was tied for my favorite film of the summer
with
Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
which I have not seen,
which was fantastic. That's all I'm going to say.
I should also say that I liked X-Men First Class.
Oh, yeah. That was really good,
too. It
was
way better than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Way better than
I thought. Oh, way better than
any of us. All right, so if none of you call in, but you should, we'll address some of these things in future episodes.
Exactly, because that's all we're going to say. All we're going to say is Michael Fassbender. That's it. That's all we're going to say.
We're leaving it at that. Let's move into what's actually going on now.
Right.
Trailers.
Trailers. Out of the movies, let's get out of and into trailers.
I didn't say let's get out of the movies. Well, I said let's move on to what's going on now.
Let's get right into the biggest trailer of all.
There are four. Oh, go ahead. Ghost Rider 2.
Oh, is that your choice?
Oh, that's the biggest one.
Let the record show that OG of all the humongous trailers that we've seen in the last couple of weeks picked the Ghost Rider 2 trailer as the biggest trailer.
I'd like to quote Nicolas Cage from the Ghost Rider 2 trailer.
Yes.
That being the case, we better make sure he's not the Antichrist. That trailer was the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen. And all of you out there that were like, oh, it looks pretty good. It looks so much darker than the first one. No, fuck you. It was atrocious.
No,
and Nicolas Cage is atrocious.
Yeah, it's...
It was terrible.
Where did this come from?
Because the first one did It did okay in DVD sales.
Oh, well, maybe.
And they wanted to try it again, and they wanted to try... And all
like
these
the
people,
Punisher.
When that trailer came out online, there was so much positive feedback. I couldn't wait. My fingers were eagerly typing. And when I watched it, I was angry that I had just wasted 3 minutes of my life.
Yep.
And I promptly closed the window and then opened up Prometheus. That's okay. What I did.
Let's talk about Prometheus.
Looks amazing.
This is the big Ridley Scott sci-fi blockbuster for this summer.
Right.
And it is or is not a prequel to his original Alien film.
It absolutely is a prequel. However, I don't think it has a lick to do with the actual aliens. Or maybe I shouldn't say a lick. It has not much to do with the actual aliens. However, it's absolutely a prequel.
Because
the world is the same.
Whatever that thing is, that big thing, seems to me to be the big thing that they see in the first Alien movie.
Right. And there are other tie-ins. But
I don't know. Everyone's supposed to be really surprised when the movie comes out, though.
That being said, I thought the trailer looked great. Let's say there was no Alien film.
Okay.
There was no Alien film franchise.
Let's say that.
Prometheus, on its own, as a sci-fi movie, mm-hmm. It's a big-budget sci-fi movie, I thought the trailer looked good. It piqued my interest. I'm absolutely interested in seeing it.
Okay.
And hopefully I'll be back to going to movies on a regular basis come the summertime, and I will get to see it.
Hopefully.
Two more trailers.
Two more?
Two more to discuss.
Wait. One, two, three... Oh, yeah,
there are
more.
Two more to discuss.
Yeah,
I'll let you pick which one you want to do
first. I forgot Ghost Rider because you said four. Right. I totally put Ghost Rider out of my mind. I'm like, we just talked about one. Oh, no, we didn't.
So you could pick whichever one you want to discuss first.
Well, which one is more important to you?
I think we should save Dark Knight Rises.
Oh,
last.
You suck.
We should save that last.
You suck.
We should talk about The Hobbit.
No.
And I'll tell you why we should save Dark Knight Rises to last. Not because I think it was a better trailer. Because there's so much controversy surrounding that trailer that it's going to be a longer discussion. So let's talk about The Hobbit.
Okay.
What did you think?
Awesome.
Martin Freeman looks fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. I'll accept Martin Freeman. That's fine. They blended him nice with Ian Holm, who is clearly back. And you also saw Frodo in that trailer.
That's right.
What's his name?
Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah Wood. And you also see Cate Blanchett.
Right, you do.
You also see Gandalf, who Ian McKellen, who looks great also. Yep.
You don't see Christopher Lee, is that correct? But I believe he's back. I've heard that he is back as Saruman.
Yeah, he is. Anybody who has a part, and they didn't show Elrond either. But
they did not,
he's
back as well.
So what did you think, OG? Before I want to lay
of
my
trailer?
I'm going to lay my criticism down.
Okay. I was not blown away by the trailer.
Okay.
But I have a reason for that.
All right.
There was nothing in the trailer that was groundbreaking.
Right.
Meaning, it looked like...
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Right.
All right. And all of the tricks we have seen for Lord of the Rings. The best part of the trailer, in my opinion, was Thorin Oakenshield. And when the dwarf sang, I thought it sounded great.
Wow. So you and I are about to have a big argument.
The thing that would have made that trailer huge would have been if you had put Smog in there.
Smog's not in the movie.
But I understand why they don't do it.
Right.
He's going to be in the second film? Is that
he's
what it is?
He's got to be, because based on... I mean, look,
it's a huge part of the story.
No,
he
I know
has
that.
To be in there.
But he doesn't encounter Smog until the second half of the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
The second half of the book, rather.
No, I know.
So I think this book... I mean, I'm just trying to think, when I saw the trailer, where could this book possibly split?
I wasn't sure if that trailer was supposed to be a... I wasn't sure, because I thought... Now, it's been a long time since I've read The Hobbit, so you have to forgive
me.
Well,
if you have 20 minutes...
Yeah, I know. But I thought that the encounter with Gollum was much further along in the story as well. And they show Gollum in the trailer.
Yeah, well, they have to do that.
So is the trailer then supposed to be for both movies?
No.
As a teaser?
No.
Or is it just for the first film?
It's set because it says
Did
on
it
there,
say part one?
Unexpected Journey.
Oh, okay.
Is part
okay, I wasn't
one,
sure.
There and Back Again,
again
is part two.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
So what I'm thinking is, I'm trying to decide if that's where they're going to split the book.
Maybe.
Maybe, you know.
Maybe he makes it to
Gollum.
Beginning
of the encounter
and then...
is the end of the first movie. I mean, I don't know. It seems like something you wouldn't want to cut on.
Like the movie ends with him on the shore and it picks back up with him in the little boat.
Yeah, maybe.
Heading to the center where Gollum actually is.
Maybe.
I mean, there could be a suspenseful cut there.
That could be one way. The only way I think we see Smog in the first movie, but I think it's very veiled. But, much in the way
the
we
cut
saw.
Is after they go over the waterfall, and it picks back up, and the
aren't
barrels at the bottom.
At the barrels, right? Yeah. That's what I thought would be a natural break.
That would be a good break, too.
But as far as Smog goes, though, I think they're going to veil it the same way they did Gollum in Fellowship. Because he's not really in there, but you get a taste of him.
Yeah,
maybe. So you'll see some blackened images and things, and I think that's how they'll handle Smog.
We'll see.
My criticism of the trailer
was the dwarves,
sir. Was the dwarves
really?
Yeah, because some of them look realistic, and some of them look completely stupid, goofy.
Really?
I think some of them look like cartoons, and some of them look like people.
I didn't think that.
Really? Who's the fat one?
I don't remember.
He looked like a
Owen Gloin, Gimli, Boyne.
Yeah.
Thorin Oakenshield is the only one that I remember.
Let's talk about Thorin Oakenshield. What's he, 10? He's too young.
Maybe I have to go back and watch it again.
No, go watch it again.
Maybe I have to go back and watch it
again. He looks way too young. And I don't know if those effects are completed yet.
That could be it, too. Maybe the effects aren't 100%.
Well, it's not the aging effects, because I assume that's not going to be computer.
No, but maybe it's the...
The squashing,
the shrinkinization.
He didn't look. Yeah, really, the majority of them didn't look like Gimli. You know what I mean?
No, in those
shots, you know. I don't mean that they should all look like Gimli.
I know what you meant.
I'm not racist. No. I'm saying that they didn't look proportionally like Gimli.
I understand what you
like
mean.
Like Thorin looked like a full on dude and young. I thought he was way way too young. That's my criticism of that.
Dark Knight Rises.
Huh?
Did you see the prologue? Did you get to see that?
I did
IMAX?
Not get to see the prologue because I didn't want to see Ghost Protocol until it became the best movie ever.
Yeah, apparently.
And so now I want to see it.
Of course.
But I mean, do I want to see it in IMAX? I don't know. That's like a whole day.
So I've seen like shitty snippets of the prologue. Okay. like, you know, handycams. Yeah. But I did see the trailer.
Uh-huh.
I liked the trailer.
Okay.
The big criticism.
Right.
And this is why I wanted to stretch this out, although The Hobbit went long anyway, but who cares? The big criticism is Bane. Not how he looks.
How he sounds.
How he sounds.
Okay, that's already being addressed.
But it's not.
But it is.
Are you talking about the reissued audio that was sent to the IMAX?
No.
That thing?
No. What I'm talking about is what we've seen in the trailer and in the prologue is not the final audio for the film.
That is correct.
Okay.
However... Christopher Nolan has said that he's not going to tweak it that much.
Right.
There was also a rumor that a recut version of the prologue went out to IMAX that had cleaned up audio, and that was completely debunked. That was not true. Well, that rumor lasted for about a day and a half and then died an untimely
death. I don't understand why anyone would do that anyway. I mean,
they were saying it was based on the criticism.
It's out there. F it.
Right. That being said,
well,
I didn't think that he was that hard to understand. But he also didn't say a lot in the trailer.
One line in the trailer.
Apparently, it's much worse in the prologue.
That's what I've heard.
This also being said, in Nolan, I trust.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not gonna pass final judgment on Bane, Even if there's a better trailer, I'm not passing Final Judgment on Bane until I see the film. And I'm leaving it at that.
That's fine.
Because I don't think until... Because I still go back to Heath Ledger when we were all like, no way.
What?
And then amazing. So...
Right.
I'm in Nolan, I trust.
Okay.
I'm waiting for the film.
Let me give you a couple of clips from the Purdue... Well, not clips. A little... a couple of notes, if you will, from producer Mike Uslan.
Okay.
Mike Uslan told me it is 7 years...
After.
After The Dark Knight.
That makes sense.
Right? So that's something we need to keep in mind, number one. Number two,
not
the other thing...
Not that it's 7 years, but that it's a significant amount of time. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's 7 years, though, he said. And the other thing that he said was is that the film will be entirely controversial.
Okay.
Will be really controversial.
Good. It should be.
So, I mean, those
Batman
two...
Batman dies.
I don't think it'll be that controversial. That's the rumor. Really?
That's one of the rumors out there right now, is that Nolan kills Batman.
No way. There's no way. DC doesn't let him do that.
Well, you know, as a...
Break Batman...
Well, of course, the question becomes is if DC decides to ever do Batman again...
Which they already are planning.
Okay, but do they reboot or do they continue?
No, I think the theory here is that Nolan continues to produce...
Right.
...but not direct going forward. And that may or may not mean Christian Bale.
Okay, well...
So here's my my take.
Right.
My take is if anything, he breaks Batman.
Right.
And we get a nice long... stretch, maybe a 10-year not in real time. No. We get like a 10-year stretch, and then you cast somebody else if Christian Bale doesn't want to do it. Maybe you cast someone who's a little older, and you bring back Batman reformed and so on and
absolutely.
So forth. I mean, there's a bazillion possibilities. What it isn't, apparently, from what we've seen so far, is the Hugo story that everybody thought it was. And that everybody went and bought the trade of those issues, and the trade sold you like $100, and it is clearly not that story.
I mean, unless they're keeping it so tight under wraps, but everything else has been leaked. I mean,
oh yeah.
I mean, yeah. Catwoman, but the look of Catwoman,
which is terrible.
Really? Oh,
so
I
far,
like it. Oh, I like
so
it.
So far.
I like the goggles that become ears.
So
oh,
far.
I like it.
I don't know.
It.
We'll see.
No, but Talia al Ghul has been leaked in some capacity, which stands to reason. There's no reason for her not to be in there, at least in a cameo.
Right.
So I don't know. I go back to Christopher Nolan has yet to fail me, not just in the Batman franchise, but
anything.
In general.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anything of his where I was like, this fucking sucked.
He's not Bryan Singer.
So, right, exactly. Right.
Brent Ratner.
So, exactly. So, I'm waiting for the final product. I'm waiting for the final product.
Okay.
Since we're talking about Christopher Nolan producing, he's producing that Superman film that's also coming out.
I actually like that Henry Cavill guy is looking better and better as Clark Kent.
And did you hear rumor of the day? Rumor du jour?
However, the suit.
Ah, well.
The rumors are to be believed. We're all going to hit the roof when the suit...
Well,
is shown.
We'll look, it can't be as bad as the
trailer for that. I think we should see fairly soon as well. Isn't that in the fall or something? That movie.
I don't know. I think aren't they still filming that?
I thought. Well, they're still filming Batman from that perspective. Yeah. So,
The rumor of the day.
They wouldn't do two in one summer. So.
Rumor du jour.
Yeah.
Is Bradley Cooper makes a cameo as Lex Luthor in the end of the film. Or somewhere during the course of the film.
Okay. It's a reboot.
Yeah. My only concern with that
is that who would shave that beautiful head of hair just to do Lex?
My only concern is that I actually liked the floated idea of Bradley Cooper as the Flash.
Oh yeah.
And
he's too old.
And if he's
going to go with a younger guy.
You think so?
Yeah,
you think he's too old?
Too old.
Really? Yeah.
I think the guy's not ancient.
That's not what I mean.
I'm not saying he's
ancient. You think they're going to do a younger Flash?
I think they would do more, not kid Flash young.
Right.
Not, you know, not like that young.
College Flash.
But yeah, I would say more around that time period. I'm trying to think of an actor off the top of my head, except I hate everyone from that generation.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't think of anybody in particular. Oh, wait, no.
No.
I was thinking Jesse Eisenberg for a second, but then I was like, wait, no, that's terrible.
Yeah, no.
But someone of that ilk,
right?
You know, no, that sucks too. No, I can't think of anyone. But you know, someone from, you know, someone from that a generation removed.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, has it? Right generation, completely wrong dude.
Right. Anyway, so yeah, so there's that. I'm trying to think, do I have any other movie related news? I don't think that I do.
Like Chris Pine as the Flash.
Except
he's busy.
He's Kirk.
He's busy doing the movie without Benicio del Toro.
That's right.
As Khan.
All right. How about we talk? All right, I have a bizarre story, but I think we're going to save that till the end of the news break.
Okay.
Let's talk about. I'm going to give you some options because I think we should start to move towards our first break. Perhaps.
Yeah, we should
for this show. We're saving the bizarre story. We have to.
And we should it. And we should say if you're in this point, you know, you should be aware of the fact that this one is going to be slightly a little over time.
Yeah, probably.
As we try to get back on track and figure out how we used to do this every week.
We have two deaths that we have to address.
Joe right. Simon.
Joe Simon was
the creator of Captain America.
That's right.
He died. He was 94, was he?
Yeah,
thereabouts. Something like that.
And Bob Anderson passed away this week. Bob Anderson is the dude in the suit.
Oh, Vader's the fight guy.
The fight guy for Vader.
Right. He also he appeared with Errol Flynn.
In a film, yeah.
And he appeared with a bunch of Antonio Banderas. Didn't he do something with Zorro as well?
Yeah, he was an Olympic fencer. A master swordsman. He did all of Vader's lightsaber.
That would have been an awesome guy to meet and have a conversation with because he's covered the entire movie era of sword fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Just think about
it. Yeah, really.
Errol Flynn, Basil Rathbone era of the, what, 30s, 40s, 50s maybe?
And he's not even, I mean, he was 89, but I would think.
That'd be a young guy.
To me, that sounds young. Like, I would expect to have worked with Flynn
right.
in a capacity as doing something with swords,
right.
You would think that he'd be in his like mid-90s already, right? Easily well, almost 5 or 6
well, let's
years
see.
Older.
It depends, though. If you work with Flynn at the end of Flynn's life when he was making the last couple of swordy pictures that he right. made, you know, that was like the 50s. So, I mean, it's not unreasonable, you know, to think that he could have worked with Flynn. The but that said, he still worked with, even if it was the 50s, he worked with Flynn in the 50s. He worked Star Wars, hello, in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
And Banderas in the 90s.
Oh, here you go. The Master of
Balintre. Yeah. So that's one of the end.
52.
52. There you go. Yeah, so. I was about to say that, sir, when you, I was about to say that I was 52.
Sorry. He also worked on The Princess Bride, The Legend of Zorro.
Oh, he worked on The Princess Bride, one of the other coolest sword fights ever.
Several of the James Bond franchise.
Uh-huh.
From Russia with Love, most notably. Die Another Day worked on. Some of the Lord of the Rings movies. I mean, the guy really did everything.
Did he do Zorro the Gay Blade?
It doesn't say if he did or did not do Zorro the Gay Blade.
That was a really good sword fight. I'm just saying.
All right. So do you want to go with Mutants Are Not Humans? Or do you want to go with sci-fi brothel? Because those are the last two things we're addressing.
Wow. Go with mutants first.
All right. So Radiolab, which is another podcast out there. Are you familiar with Radiolab?
I am,
I've checked them out in the past.
Yeah, I've listened to Radiolab a bunch.
So apparently they brought to light, I think this was just during the past week, or it came to my attention during the past week, and it was kind of all over the internet.
Okay.
The past week, that I guess several years ago, some lawyers from Marvel, while trying to deal with overseas tax issues, fought a lawsuit where they claimed that mutants were not humans. Now, let me explain. In China, there are different tax brackets for dolls versus toys.
Okay, I see where this is going.
Dolls are a higher bracket than toys. As humans, the figures for Marvel previously fell into the doll category.
Right.
Okay. So the lawyers argued the point that they were not humans, that they were monsters.
Right.
Thus making them fall into a lower tax bracket and the toy category.
So Marvel argued against the whole premise.
Right. Now, all right. Now, from a business standpoint, I completely understand this. I completely understand it, okay?
Oh.
I find it funny because obviously the entire premise behind the X-Men It's always been parallel to human rights issues.
Yeah. And how about mutants aren't monsters?
Not to mention that mutants are humans.
That's so funny.
They've always been humans.
Wow.
You know, no one, Professor Xavier is not a monster. He's a human.
Wow.
You know, there are certain humans where, or certain mutants where I could see maybe you would qualify them as a monster in some capacity, a la Beast or Nightcrawler.
See,
based on look alone.
The whole thing.
But they're humans. They're mutated humans.
The premise, the fact humans. That they argue that they're not monsters when they're trying to make a book about acceptance.
I know. It's
pretty funny.
It was sweet irony. It was some business posturing, but I just thought it was kind of funny. Okay.
Okay.
90 miles west of Las Vegas, by the Cat House, who I guess runs the by the Bunny Ranch, the guy that owns the Bunny Ranch.
Oh, that's Dennis Hoff.
Yes.
That's my friend, Dennis Hoff,
Well, Dennis Hoff, uh-huh. Your friend, is opening up the Alien Cat House, a new establishment that aims to cater to the geek who's always wanted to sleep with a green-skinned slave girl, a pointy-eared dominatrix, or basically a woman who will take currency from a client in exchange for sex and not call them a nerd in the process. All right, so there's not a lot about this out there right now.
I think
other than it's going to be a sci-fi themed brothel.
Okay, I think we need to contact Dennis Hoff.
This is Armageddon, right?
And I need to go there
and see this for yourself.
I think in order to be a proper reporter
really?
For this program, I think I got to take one for the team.
Yeah,
I got to. Yeah, I think so. You got to give me that story because. I got to find that out. If that's the case, and yeah, I totally could do that.
The thing that I mean, other than it's kind of funny, the thing I really wanted to talk to about in regards to this was, this is a true sign of how far geeks, quote unquote, have come
right
out of the deep, dark corners of the high school cafeteria.
Absolutely.
And into everyday life.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and we talk about this
everyday life. Right. Hookers.
But no, but you understand what I mean. The fact that this business could cater to this clientele,
uh-huh.
right? And be well publicized and discussed is, to me, some people may call it significant. To me, this is going to make me sound elitist. I think it's a bad thing.
Why?
Because this to me leads more to, this is part of the G4 generation of geekness. This is part of that.
Oh, I don't know. And I would, you know, I would totally like to bash G4 with you.
I think this is part of that. I'm just saying.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure the fact that G4.
And not all of G4, because I've actually grown to like the Nerdist.
Okay.
I do like the Nerdist.
Well, they did get rid of Olivia Munn.
I like the Nerdist.
She's not back.
I'm focusing on the Nerdist.
She's still not working. Because
that's
right.
The one that I like.
Right.
I don't know.
I think she's still gone.
I don't.
And didn't she have an affair with somebody? She's a complete mess.
I honestly don't know.
The last time
I think I saw her in the news, it was because she had posed in some magazine in a bikini again.
I think
so I looked at the picture and I was like,
I think I saw hot? Like the Inquirer or something where she was like sleeping with someone she ought not to have nice. Slept with
in the cat house, in the Alien cat house.
No.
Oh, okay.
Man, she would get big money, I think.
Currency?
Yeah, which is stupid because she's just a waste. But anyway. The point is, what I think is that it's no doubt that G4 and other entities like that, MTV Geek, which is maybe the worst example, which I thought G4 was bad until I watched that show.
But MTV Geek gives out good prizes.
Anyway, the point is that... I think that with shows like that, Big Bang Theory and so on and so forth,
right.
the kind of foot in the door, you know, that we have as a culture and is going to be exploited by everybody. Okay, granted, the hookers thing may have been, you know, I'm sorry, the working girls.
No, they're hookers.
The working girls. I want to go there, sir. I want Dennis Hoff to invite me there. You know what I'm saying?
Would he call them not hookers?
I don't know what he
would. Prostitutes?
I think he would call them working girls,
sir.
He
would call them moneymakers.
Working girls.
Shake your groove thing. That's what he would call them.
The point being.
Shake your tail.
The point being.
In some cases, literally.
or money. The point being is that I can understand it. This is not the first direction I think I would have seen the culture reach out to, per se. But then again, can we just bring this up? I know we're running long in this segment. What was the geek dating show?
But okay, let's talk about the geek. All right.
Yeah, well, let's talk about
right,
it.
All right. I think we
have to table right, this to next right, week.
No. We have to talk about Geek Love.
Have to table this.
Okay.
Let's just table it till next
week.
But
we have to talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Okay. We'll expand this topic next week. I thought it was... Well, anyway, we're tabling it. Let's take our first break, OG, on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast. I guess it's just Big Kev's Geek Stuff alone.
Yeah,
no. We're going to continue to call it the podcast because we don't know when we will be back on SiriusXM, but we do plan on going back to SiriusXM. We are on hiatus from them right now. So we're going to say Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, volume 2, episode... No.
Yeah.
It's episode 233, volume 2, episode 1.
That. What's up, everybody? It's Jay from the Masters of None podcast on Simply Syndicated and, of course, at mastersofnone.com. We've had some fine shows lately. Tell them what we've had, Art.
We've had some great celebrity interviews booked by yours truly with Danny Trejo and Jim Brewer.
Yes, of course, and we've also had the Poser's Guide to Canada as well as the wonderful Nerd Off Back to the Future versus Star Wars that someone happened to win. That would be myself.
And of course, lots of ego stroking and insults galore. We're the comedy podcast that doesn't suck. Check us out. We're Masters of None.
Bitch, what you don't know about me, I can just about squeeze in the Grand fucking Canyon.
Hey, it's Kevin Smith, Big Kev's love slave.
Did you know I always wanted to be a dancer in Vegas?
Then you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
What do you look so shocked for, man? Fat bastard does this all the time. He thinks just because he don't say anything, it'll have some huge impact when he does open his fucking mouth. Jesus Christ, why don't you shut up?
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 233, volume 2, episode 1. Don't forget, if you'd like to talk about anything that we've discussed already on the show tonight, or maybe mention anything or hear us talk about anything that went on in the past 7 months, you can leave us a voicemail over at the GVM line, 425-920-6050. I can't believe I still remember that.
OG, what did we talk about?
No.
Oh.
No.
We're not there?
No.
But it's been such a long time.
No wrap up tonight.
All right. Well, let's just do something really quick then, and then let's get out of here. We're not going to go over time very much today. We're actually going to skip the wrap up.
Yay! Just victory for the little people.
Just for this one. Just
victory!
Well, look, if you'd like to bring that to a vote at some other time, OG, and lose again.
We are bringing it to a vote.
No, sir.
Yes, we are.
We voted once, the people spoke, and that's the end of it.
Nope, we are bringing it back up. New elections.
Let's do this.
Geek Stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
All right. Some comic books. I guess we're going to talk about a couple of individual issues that came out this week and then some big things that we wanted to address.
Well, yeah, let's just get through it really quickly. The Lone Ranger number one from our friends over at Dynamite. Now this is the rebooted, I think. Is that the correct term? I guess.
Is it another reboot or is it a,
no, it's not. It is not. You don't have that effect.
You don't know.
Do you have it?
We might. We're going to find out.
Can't do that. I think this is actually an ongoing. This is now an ongoing book where I think the other ones may have been less ongoing. I'm not really sure, honestly, but I think that's how this works now.
Okay.
Got a great Alex Ross cover. You really don't go wrong cover wise because half of them are Alex Ross and half of them are Francesco Franciavilla, friend of this program.
Of course.
So you can check that out. From Dynamite Entertainment.
What is that in your hand?
which thing? They're both so messed up, I don't even know where to begin. DC Comics, while we were gone, started the new 52.
That's right.
So what I'm holding in my hand is Detective Comics number 5.
Wow.
Wow, it's 1944 again.
All over
whatever
again.
The hell it was, 8, whatever it was. You know what? I have to say... We're going to talk about this more in depth, the whole 52 thing. We're going to talk about that more next week. What I have to say, however, is that Tony Daniel is doing a really nice job on Detective, sir.
You know,
writing and drawing.
I've been happy with Batman. Also, Snyder is doing a good job on Batman. We'll talk about the 52.
We will. But anyway, this is Detective number 5. I think this may be the conclusion of the Batman Penguin art thing that's been going on. I think it's the end. I believe I'm right. I think that is the end of that story. So check this? That. And they've been really good too. So.
I'm gonna do something crazy.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going to say, send us an email.
Okay.
To geekstuffog@gmail.com.
Right.
With your favorite new DC 52 title.
Right.
And why.
Uh-huh.
And we'll pick a winner at random and we'll give them a prize. Wow. We're starting big.
Nice.
Starting big. Prizes out the door.
Prizes up to our neck in prizes. Where are we going to get prizes?
I have some prizes.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Don't worry.
Is it that Twilight Zone mouse pad that you got from Entertainment Earth?
No, it's not that. It's better than that.
Oh, that's good.
I hope.
You hope.
Fingers crossed.
While we were gone, Marvel, also in their infinite wisdom, they also decided that they were going to reboot everything. Well, not everything, but more particularly, they ended Uncanny X-Men. I don't understand why. No one really understands why. But what we have now is Uncanny X-Men number 4.
Yeah. So there's that.
Kieran Gillen, writer. Brandon Peterson, the artist. I got to be honest, I'm not really impressed by anything here, but I've been reading the book so long that I figure it was either I'm going to get off the train or I'm going to stay on it. And I decided, I guess maybe temporarily, to stay on.
Would you like me to
rip it up? No.
Would you like me to toss you off the train like Cap did to Bucky?
Cap didn't toss him off.
That's what you saw.
That's what you saw. Let's move on to graphic novels, because really that's
the only focus.
Books. Yeah, there was some Superman thing today too, but I didn't pick it.
Well, it's Superman, so you know.
Yeah. I picked this up because it looked really cool.
Oh, well, good for you.
It's Ender's Game, The Ultimate Collection.
Oh, yeah. I actually might pick that up.
Yeah. Now, it is from Marvel. It's Orson Scott Card.
That's right. Based on the series of
yes,
books.
Christopher Yost. Pascal Ferry is probably the main reason I picked it up, because his art is fantastic.
Fantasimo.
We have talked about Pascal Ferry for years.
Yes.
And I've never met the man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He did that. He did. What was he doing? Strange Adventures for DC. Where? What's his name? Captain Strange. Whatever his name was, I can't remember. This spacey looking guy.
If you say so.
What was his name? Strange. Something Strange.
Do you think that I've been keeping up with culture for the past 7 months?
No, that's like
on the couch.
Dude, it's like 2 years ago.
Doctor Who.
I can't remember his name now. Somebody's.
Yeah, just about Doctor Who. All I've done in the last 7 months.
What is watch Doctor
that's
Who?
That's it.
Hey, speaking of Doctor Who, little Fifi's Who stuff. We'll be returning in the coming weeks.
And more Super Game stuff. So everything's coming back. And actually, maybe another show on the site as well. We might be bringing another show into the fold.
Really?
Yeah.
God, we can barely get through this show.
Let's focus.
$29.99. So $30. It actually collects Ender's Game Battle School 1 through 5 and Ender's Game Command School 1 through 5.
Yes.
So the art is fantastic. Adam Strange.
I remember that guy.
And you really want to check it out, because this is, I think, from all the reports, this is one of the best translation from novel to comics.
Fantastic.
It is. Orson Scott Card is a really great science fiction writer. So I'm really looking forward to reading this, and I haven't read a stitch of it. So if it stinks, I will, you know, I'll be sure to let you know.
If it stinks,
too.
You could put it underneath an end table to level it out.
That's true. Or you can give it away as a prize.
There you go.
Or whatever. A couple of books that I wanted to mention also from our friends over at Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Dark Horse. BPRD, Hell on Earth, Gods and Monsters. This is volume 2 in the BPRD catalog.
Oodalali.
This collects, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to look, because I think we did one of these last time and I was mistaken, and people were like, it's not what it is. It's something else altogether. Blah, blah, blah. It collects BPRD Hell on Earth Gods 1 through 1 and 3, yeah, and BPRD Hell on Earth Monsters 1 and 2. So it's actually, it's 1 through 3. Sorry, not 1 and 3. So it collects two great BPRD stories in one volume. Gonna run you, what, $20 these things? Yeah, $20. Really great stuff. Also, in the from the pages of Hellboy, as they both say at the top, this is Sir Edward Grey Witchfinder, Lost and Gone Forever. This is the second volume of the Sir Edward Grey Witchfinder series. And again, it's more of the same kind of Hellboy universe, checking out spooky things thing. I really like this paranormal Hellboy universe, despite its creator being a douchebag. This one collects, if I'm not mistaken, Sir Edward Grey Witchfinder, The Lost and Gone Forever 1-5. So it actually collects that one story. So there's that. And then finally tonight, we have to talk about this killer, killer, killer volume, the annotated Sandman Volume 1.
Nice.
This is the Sandman numbers 1-20 by Neil Gaiman, edited with introduction and notes by Leslie Klinger, and a foreword by Neil Gaiman. This is essentially the first 20 issues with all sorts of notes and things attached to it. Yes.
I'm going to admit, I probably won't pick that up.
Well, I think...
Because I've been buying the Absolutes.
But the Absolutes don't contain the notes.
And I appreciate that, but I'm on a budget. I can't have both.
These are cheaper than the Absolutes.
Yes, but I've already started a collection.
This one,
I can't
sir.
Just stop willy-nilly in this the middle.
But you can sell them, sir.
No, come on. You're being silly.
Sir, this book, $49.99.
You're being silly.
$49.99. I'm just saying. It's an oversized volume. Stop if you are a Sandman fan, this is the book for you to read. Not the Absolutes.
Bollocks.
They're nice. They're fine.
Bollocks.
But do you get the stories? Do you get the all the references?
In all truth,
so
I probably will pick those up. I was just
But you're going to pick them up for like $10 in the bin at That's some right. con. Probably
I will,
Philly.
I will wait for a con.
Probably Philly.
Where I get all of my graphic novels.
That's right.
All right.
For pennies on the dollar.
Before we go eat.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where we're going. Post-production meeting.
That's right.
Before we go eat, I would
Our
like
new
to
producer,
welcome back
blank.
Yeah, blank. I would like to welcome back a sponsor to the show, Superpower Collectibles. You can head over to superpowercollectibles.com for all of your awesome toy needs. Great stuff from all the big companies. And if you enter coupon code BIGKEV upon checkout for an order of $50 or more, you'll get $10 off. So essentially, you're paying for your shipping.
That's pretty
more
good.
More or less. That'll probably or taxes, one or the other, you know, depending on where you
hey,
live.
$10 off.
Taxes. Hey, look, $10 off a $50 purchase, and a $50 purchase is like easy peasy.
That's 20%.
Oh,
stupid
man.
Oh,
you.
It is 20%.
It is 20%.
That's
absolutely.
Pretty good.
So, welcome back, of course, Superpower Collectibles. And again, you probably heard the commercial earlier in the show, new sponsor of the show as well, Masters of None. Don't forget to check out their podcast. They're friends of the show, and they do a fine job.
They do. They have better prizes than us.
They have way, and it's funny to boot
because they got like one dude. All he does is give prizes.
Who do you like? Just like put on a mask.
No, he just like sits out in front of people's offices and be like, "I'm going to sit here till you give me like a box full of prizes."
To sit with like a garbage bag.
Seriously,
open,
like just
the guitar.
No, he's probably got like a nice suit and a little thing, and he goes, "I'm just going to sit here all day."
And eventually,
look, you'll want to get rid of me.
You want to,
and you'll be like, "Take these DVDs and get out.
Please leave."
Exactly.
Take this and go home.
Exactly.
So check out Masters of None, and you can get some prizes obtained by an obnoxious guy outside of the studio in a suit.
There you go. Masters of Nuns.
Both of those sponsors, you can check out their links on the website right there in the sponsor section.
What kind of name is Masters of Nuns?
Masters of None.
Oh, one? None. Just one?
Single nun. Singular
Masters
nun.
Masters of None.
Nunness in its singular form.
I like that book. What was that battle nun? What was it? Had that action figure, remember?
No, this isn't nun like Penguin.
Oh.
This is nun as in zero. Masters of none, masters of nothing, masters of nada.
Masters of nothing.
Nunca, Zippo, Zilch.
See, if you had said it to me in Spanish, then I would have understood.
Oh, is that was my mistake?
See.
Darn.
And with that, OG, since we're skipping the wrap up.
Right.
We will end this podcast as we end.
End our whole podcast.
That's right. As we end all Big Kev's Geek Stuff podcasts by saying goodnight, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star, yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone.